the Mad Hatter podcast, and I'm afraid of this interview. It started in a very weird place many, many years ago. The last time me and this gentleman spoke, it left us both with some hatred. There's an artist out there that despises me, and I'm absolutely sure there's an artist out there that despises him.
For sure.
So we got to start there. How has life changed for you as an artist since said interview?
You know what's funny? Since said interview, people that have never talked about my music were talking about me because of that particular podcast.
Because my favorite word is copy. We didn't understand viral.
Right, exactly.
Didn't think that this was going to be important, it would go anywhere, or anybody would talk about it.
It was on the fly. You didn't plan it. I've never went viral before. That was my first time going viral. You know what I mean? I literally woke up in the morning and it was like every news outlet was talking about me. Like, every. Bro, my music never went that viral. I'm dead serious. Like, it went more viral than my music, hands down. There are people talking about, like, literally Charlamagne Tha God and Nicki Minaj were talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, they never said my name, ever. You know what I mean? He just said my name again because of other things.
Seem like you have a tendency to go viral because of other people.
Because of other people.
And we're going to get into that, too. But how has life changed for you and doubled up since that time? And I don't want to say that I'm taking credit, but I think that was big.
I should get 5 points on something. Take some credit, man. You can take some credit, Hannah. No, I'm dead serious. It's been crazy.
And I invited her to come to the show after that because I knew she was angry. I saw a post that she made about the way she felt about us.
First of all,
we tried to railroad her, and it wasn't that.
The fact that she even replied, she hasn't spoken in public in 10 years.
So well, the better question is, has she spoken to you since it?
No, never.
But
here's the thing.
And don't say anything that could go viral. This is not what this podcast is about. It's just about friends talking to friends.
Exactly. But there are a lot of people who are very happy that I
brought
that to light. Oh, my gosh. I see people that were a part of such projects and were like, thank you. Gave me hugs. People calling me, texting me. People that didn't even have my number. People I didn't even think knew me. Like, oh, my God, you texted me? Like, on some like, man, thank you for using your platform. Because most people, when these things were happening, don't have the platform I have to speak on it. You know what I mean? Even when it happened to me, I didn't have the platform at the time.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't even...
I didn't know I had the platform either.
My point wasn't to bring it on a platform. It was just
an honest question amongst friends. I'm like, hey, what year was that?
I don't even know what year.
That had to be 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Right. So... 7 years, 8 years.
This is before things we know the word viral.
Yeah, so that's like nine years after it happened. Yeah. What I did. What happened with me personally? My first time ever talking about it on air was with you because you asked me a specific question. So my point wasn't
no one pulled your teeth out. Because at first when you said it, you really want me to tell you. Yeah. And by the way, your body language did it. No, for real. I was like, hey man, I got to go back and look at the video. I know it's up. I was like, kind of like a maybe not. It was like something dying and you just...
No, you said, you want me to edit it? I told you. No.
Bow.
Let's go.
I'm like, okay.
Because we're both not thinking what it's going to do what it did. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not... I thought maybe one person that you know in the city might say something to you that knows you personally. Bro. Your sister, a family member. Yeah. Come on, Rob. She's an icon. You don't do that. Absolutely. That's what I thought.
And that happened. You know. That happened to
a few people. All the other stuff... Totally, and when it happened, I think we text. I'm like, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got a few of the personal calls. A few of the icons hit me like, some icons hit me like, psh, bro, thanks. I can't say shit. I can't say nothing. But so other ones were like, oh, bro, why you have to do it to the sis, man?
And I still love this person. I still think that they are an incredible artist. But I understand that some people have had, it's just like somebody could go out there and have a bad 20 whatever years. With Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
And so they feel the way they feel.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it happens.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, you've had this happen to you again recently where there was an artist that had choice words for you.
Absolutely.
They wanted to know who the F you were.
Absolutely.
Obviously, all the work you did, Grammys already, a highly awarded, incredible, I could go on and on and on about this artist.
Yeah.
And this other big artist didn't know about said big artist being
right.
you.
Right.
And said, after you received your Grammy,
right.
was it for song or album?
Album,
R&B. Said, who the F is that? So I know you know this artist, maybe not personally. When he says, who the F are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you angry or confused or like, wow, I can't believe he doesn't know who I am? Not even an ego tip.
No, I never.
I'm thinking you're world renowned.
Yeah, so I never feel like that when somebody that's famous doesn't know me, because there are artists that I don't know.
I got you.
And people are like, yo, you know, this person's super dope. You know, the fact that I have accolades doesn't necessarily mean a person is going to know who I am.
That's
you
true.
You know what I mean?
That's
and
true. That's true.
Because there are people who make great music that I'm late on.
Absolutely.
As of a week ago, I'm late on people. My friends, I got friends around me that hit me to people because sometimes I live my own world because I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have time or I'm not in the space to listen to new music. I'm scoring
you.
Series, movies, on tour, making my own records, producing
in
other people's records.
Says, that's called Captain.
Oh,
I said, not community, that's called capping. Nah, but it's your truth.
It's my truth.
It's your truth.
And that cat
truth.
Is, of course, he's huge. So
yes,
I don't doubt that he truly didn't know who I was. Now, could he Google it real quick? Yes.
You could.
But he decided to do what he did because he was angry. And he did it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found out quickly, oops.
Who you were.
Yeah.
I wonder if somebody called him and said, hey,
absolutely.
Man.
People, I know people actually
who,
called him.
Do you
I don't
know who the F that is?
Yeah. And people in his camp know. But you know what's really funny? What's really funny? My next door neighbors, literally my next door neighbors, two of them are married couple. They're his dancers. They're his dancers.
Oh, so they got a call.
So they were with him. They're his dancers. You know what I mean? So I didn't talk to them. When they get back, I'll see them. But they were going to Europe literally 2 days before the Grammys. I saw them getting. They told me, "Hey, they were putting luggage in the taxi." They were going to Europe with Chris for a few months on tour. You know what I mean? So, but I'm not mad that he didn't know who I was at all. I don't. I'm not mad at that.
Well, you turned this lemon into a lemonade. Let's
absolutely.
Be honest.
Absolutely.
Because I saw some shirts,
oh,
and at
sure.
first I thought the shirts you were just joking.
Yeah.
And then I we don't text all the time. I
yeah.
try not to bother people,
yeah.
but I had to.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, da 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 da. And you had some choice words and said some things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you tell him to talk about me next
day? Yeah. Exactly. That's what you said.
I literally said that because I'm like, if you can sell out shirts,
exactly.
I want to be part of it too.
Exactly.
I have no problem with you saying something disrespectful about me
Please
and being
do.
Like you.
Absolutely.
And making a moment out of it. But here's my real question.
Yeah.
Who was the person that pumped you up to say, you should make a shirt and sell them?
Bro, if you look at my comments on IG, everybody hit me when I posted, like I won the Grammy, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was hitting me about Chris Brown. Everybody said,
you should get him.
You should make a shirt. But I had thought of that already. Here's the kicker. I made a Who the Fuck Is Robert Glasper shirt last year. I sold it in October at my residency at the Blue Note when I did my Rocktoberfest at Blue Note.
I
for
think
six
I
weeks.
Have seen you with this
There's
shirt
a black
before.
Shirt that says in white letters, Who the Fuck Is Robert Glasper? That was my own campaign.
So
then a week before the Grammys, I said, oh, so that shirt sold out in person in my live show that sold out. So I was like, I want to do a Who the Fuck Is Robert Glasper campaign online. So on my IG, if you look at my IG, January 30th, I posted Who the Fuck Is Robert Glasper, and I asked some questions about myself to my fans to see who knew personal things about me. So Chris
nice.
Brown, all he did was take my emoji, my symbol around Who the Fuck Is Robert Glasper, and add the laughing emoji on it. He added the
nice.
Laughing emoji, and then he put it out. So people think that was his idea. It was really mine.
Wow.
So he
okay.
just really was working for me. He was my marketer.
So you sold the rest of the shirts
marketing.
You had left.
Absolutely.
And
no, I just made new shirts with that. With that laughing emoji, because he,
oh, okay. gotcha,
he helped.
Gotcha.
I put that on there, so it's exactly what he posted. And I
and
made
it really
the shirts.
Sold out.
Oh, absolutely. I made a certain amount, and I didn't want to overdo it. I just made a certain amount, and then I took all the money and gave it to my friend Jesse McBride's foundation, the Community Music
beautiful.
Center of New Orleans for
look at you.
For underprivileged
so,
kids. Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Robert Glasper. This is why I love this.
So anybody else who wants to talk shit about me, please do. Please do. I want to make some hats, some gloves, some Speedos.
Next dumb question.
Some socks.
You Grammy award winning, doing movie soundtracks, et cetera, guy. Black Radio, you've done that title for three times,
yep.
by the way. Was there something in particular about black radio, and I don't remember, I'm sure we've had this conversation mm-hmm. before, but I don't remember if we did, mm-hmm. why this even started in the first place with the first album and why you titled it that, and now you did it for the third record.
Yeah, so it became a brand. It became my brand because I feel like I encompass a lot of what black radio is. Most artists do one thing. They rap or they do R&B. Or they do one of the black musics. You know what I mean? Mm. One of them. Most people are living in one lane, and that's the lane they do, you know? Mm. I live in a few lanes. You know, I say yeah. I have the keys to a lot of the rooms in the house of black music. Black music has a house. It's a house with a lot of rooms.
Yes, sir.
And I walk room to room in it. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm a person that encompasses black music. I got gospel in me. I got R&B in me. I got hip-hop in me. I got jazz in me. I got rock in me. You know what I mean? And those are all music that our ancestors have given us, mm-hmm. have given the world.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? To the point where the world thinks it's really theirs. They forget it's ours, and we let you borrow it.
Yep.
You know, we just keep the bike at my house. You know, that's what they do with black music. They make like the bike in Friday. You know, like it's like both of ours. Let's keep it in my house.
Absolutely.
So then when I ask for it back, you want to be like, oh, it's like, no, it's mine. Don't forget it's mine. Black Radio was the album that I was mixing all these genres in, coming from jazz. And I was like, I want to do an album where I have my friends on it. And we go from room to room in the house of black music. And me and Mos Def, a.k.a. Yassine Bey, well, Yassine Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def, or formerly known as, whatever, Dante. We have a song that we wrote together called Black Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote this in like 2005 when my band, I was his music director, and my band was his band, mm-hmm. you know? And we wrote the song Black Radio. And it was basically about the black box. They call it Black Radio a black box. And the airplane, when the airplane crashes, that survives the fire, and that mm-hmm. has the truth, what yeah. happened. I feel like all good music survives the fire. The truth stands, the test of time.
Okay.
So that's what Black Radio is for me. You know what I mean? And that's why I named the album Black Radio, because of that song and because of what it stood for. And I felt like, oh, this is good to just, as an umbrella, you know what I mean? So it became, and the record label I was with at the time argued with me when I wanted to do Black Radio 2. They were like, don't call it Black Radio. This is your album. Call it Robert Glasper and come up with a name. No, I was like, no, Black Radio. That's because jazz they don't understand brands. People in jazz don't have brands. They never have.
But you do.
I do. And I understood what a brand does. You know, sometimes you be buying.
Are you shunned because of that? Because you are unapologetically you,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting to me because you are not like, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to separate you from the other jazz artists, but you are not like them. You brought fun to it. The way you dress, mm-hmm. there's a certain swag you bring to it as
absolutely.
Well.
I know that
some of that maybe at first, I don't know if it still does bring a little bit of, not hatred, not jealousy, but this guy's too. Not real. It's not real what he's doing. It's not
well,
real jazz.
That's why I did three jazz albums first that were all number one jazz albums
right.
that influenced the whole jazz community. And you can't take that away from me. You know, you can't take, that's why I did that first. I would have did Black Radio first. I wouldn't have got the respect from the jazz world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you can't deny me when it comes to this instrument and jazz, you can't deny
that you are
my contribution to
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
And you can't deny that I know what I'm doing.
And you're okay that. With some of them still maybe behind closed doors because they won't do it to your face.
No.
But I'm sure behind closed doors.
You know what? On my way from the Grammys, I'll stop by the club and we can talk about it on stage. We can do a little, I'll play a blues with you if you like. What are you hating on? I mean, my path is not your path.
You are not buttoned up. You don't have yeah. on the suit and the shoes. And,
there's
a certain aesthetic that they believe. Some believe that it should have.
Yeah, it comes from the slave times.
Oh, wow.
It comes from white people being scared of you, and you have to look as unharmful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You had to wear a suit.
I got you.
You had no choice but to wear a suit. That's why jazz has a dress code. No other art form has a dress code but jazz and maybe classical music, maybe. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But in real life, there's a way that's the mentality because we were told this is how you have to dress. Jazz was born in the era
absolutely.
Of when it was
yeah. Never even
cracking.
Thought about it like that.
Yeah, you didn't have the choice. You yeah. have no choice. Now we have a choice.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my choice. This is my story. I'm dressing my story. You know what I mean? You don't go see Rihanna and there's no and Busta Rhymes and there's no dress code. They're dressing their story. They're giving you a show, and what they're wearing makes sense to what show they're presenting to you. You know what I'm saying? How can I present you a show as an individual with a dress code and everybody's dressed alike? That's why it's hard to have individuals in jazz. Everybody got the same uniform.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can't even be like, oh, Robert. In hip hop and R&B, there are certain things, pieces of gear that people wear where you know it's them. You don't even got to see them. If somebody was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? The dude with the tats all over his face, he rapped. It's Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's certain things with everybody that got they got their thing. You know what I mean? I had my thing. My thing was the beanie. I still wear it here and there. You know
when
what
you
thing?
Gonna grow the dreads back?
My
out.
Thing. I ain't growing them dreads back. I didn't even take care of them. They were disgusting. that was just lazy. I was real lazy with them. But you know what I'm saying? It's just about being an individual and understanding what a brand is and understanding all these things. And the other jazz musicians, their goal isn't my goal. Well, I have a different goal. I'm put on earth to do what I'm doing. I literally have a purpose.
I got you.
Everybody, I know what my purpose is and I'm doing my purpose. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm doing something and I suck at it.
Mm.
Am I good at it? If you ask any jazz piano player, is Robert Glasper a great jazz piano player? Most of the 99.5% are going to say yes. Yes. Am I the most influential jazz piano player of my generation? 1,000%. Ask any R&B keyboardist, who's the best R&B keyboardist in the top three? Mostly my name will come up. That's not me being pompous. That's me, just it's facts. Same thing. Go to the next hip hop. Who would you say is like the best hip hop piano player? Top three. If my name's not in there, you can't trust that. You can't trust me.
Shut up. Give me.
But why is it that when I do it, when I say those things, oh, Robert's a, you know, he's cocky. When a rapper, every rap they do, they say I'm the best. Well, every rapper, well, when you're a rapper, you all you do is talk about how good you are.
Because you're a jazz musician, so they don't think you should.
You're not supposed to do that. You know why? Because jazz is also born out of you being a damn slave. You can't do anything. That's where it's born out of. You know what I mean? So they still have that mentality.
Different That's question. Give me your one of your favorite memories since you've been doing all this.
One of my favorite memories is... when I was earlier in my career, I got signed in 2005.
Yeah.
So I think maybe in 2006, no, maybe 2007, my second record in My Element. I did the J. Dilla interlude on there with Q-Tip on there talking. And that's when I kind of really started taking off and expanding into the other genres. Like that's when the hip hop cats started knowing who I was because of my J. Dilla interlude and Q-Tip on there. And I did a gig, a week gig at this club called the Village Vanguard in New York. Very, very famous jazz club. Arguably the most famous jazz club. That and the Blue Note. Most famous jazz clubs in the world. Do the Vanguard. And the line is literally around the corner to the next corner. It's crazy outside. I'm walking by the line. And people looking at me crazy like, why are you out here? Why are you coming to see this? Because why are you coming to see jazz? Because at that point I'm new, so people just come, oh, this Robert Glasper guy's hot. A lot of them don't even know what I look like. You know what I mean?
Wow.
They marked the tickets up. It got sold out so fast that they marked the tickets up. They never sold tickets that high at the Village Vanguard. It was like $60 at the time or something like that. Something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking by, people literally looking at me. So then I get to where the door is and literally people looking at me crazy. Like, what are you doing here? And I was like, nice. Got a surprise for y'all. I go downstairs, I go to the back, and when it's time for them to start clapping, I walk on stage. Oh, that's the guy that was
walking past us.
Oh, snap. This is who we just paid this money to see. I loved it.
Next thing. You're doing so much right now because I want you to go talk to these kids so I know we're tight on time. Can you quickly at least just run, because they don't know that you're a part of so many dope things. And they should follow you on social media because they can see some of the dope stuff that you're doing. But what are some of the dope projects you're working with right now that you can at least speak on?
So I'm about to finish, about to put out another Dinner Party record. So Dinner Party is a band that I have with
Archer,
Kamasi Washington.
Okay.
Terrace Martin and Knife Wonder.
Oh.
It's called Dinner Party. So this is going to be our second record, really. We did an album 2 years ago. It got nominated for Best Progressive Army album, actually. Okay. But anyway, about to put that out. I think I'm about to start working on another August Green record. So I'm also in another group. I'm a Jamaican when it comes to these groups. I have a group with Common and Kareem Riggins. It's called August Green, Green with an E at the end. And we put out one record a few years ago. We've been flirting with doing ideas for the next record. So okay. We're going to do that as well. I'm doing a lot of film scoring stuff. You know, I just finished I did the Best Man series that's on Peacock. Scored that. I'm about to start the second season of this show called Winning Time about the LA Lakers in the 80s. It's on HBO. So I did the first season. I'm about to start the second season. Second season of another thing I'm scoring called Run the World. Me and Derek Hodge are doing that together. The second season, we just finished it, scoring that. And I got some a movie or two that I'm about to start scoring as well. So I've been doing a lot of scoring stuff.
I'm proud of you. I know that sounds crazy. You know, it's like looking at your little brother doing some great things, but I'm really proud of you. It doesn't mean crap coming from me, but
oh, absolutely it does. You kidding me?
No,
me and Jamal used to be in the car. What's up now?
Oh,
what
God.
You got to say?
Oh, stop.
Who's on the mic? Come on, we be
stop
rhyming.
It. Stop it! Stop
no,
it.
You
stop
were the
stop
reason it. Why we freestyled. Yeah. We never freestyled like that before. You started us freestyling. Like that's a real thing, Hatter. Like I freestyle at my shows and everything because that's the first time I was freestyling because that gave us the platform to do
it. Nice of you to say. No, I'm gonna receive it and say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is my final. What is success to Robert Glasper? And is he successful?
Yes, I feel like I'm successful because successful and popular don't live in the same world. You don't have to be popular to be successful, first of all.
Hmm.
People think those are the same things. They're not. You can be popular and be broke and not successful, but popular. I don't know a popular homeless person. I'm serious.
No,
you know
I know you're not. I know you're being very
serious. You can go viral and be popular.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's all that means. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you have success in something that you're doing and you're able to feed your family. You know what I'm saying? Like my success, I feel like I'm able to live comfortably. I'm able to make sure my family lives comfortably. And I do what I want.
Success.
I feel like that's success. You know what I mean? I can get shrimp whenever I want it. I can add shrimp on it. I can add cheese on it. I never have to be like, oh, I can't add cheese this time. I've been there. I've definitely been there.
I feel that. I love this guy. He's always been gracious to me. I appreciate you even being here.
Absolutely.
Y'all should follow Robert on Instagram because he's so funny. I think somebody really should get you in some TV show.
Well, here's the thing. I'm flirting with that too. Don Cheadle got me on a few episodes of Black Monday. So
you
his show, Black Monday. So I'm on a few episodes of season 3 of Black Monday.
I think you're going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
It's out. It's out now. It's already
oh,
out.
I can see it?
Yeah, I did that like 2 years ago.
See,
maybe a year last year.
So you can tell the people that don't get a lot of TV watching in their life. Little baby, family, hey.
Oh, I know. That's yeah, exactly.
I digress. Tell them where they can follow Robert Glasper.
I'm on IG. It's just my name. And that's another thing. With IG, don't be having them tricky, confusing IG. Strawberry 3829. Chocolate. What? My IG is my name.
Yes,
Robert Glasper. That's it. Just Robert Glasper. It's the one with the blue check. Because there's a lot of fake ones out there.
You know what? I think we got through this without you putting
in
trouble. We did it. That's all I was trying to do.
Absolutely.
Revisit,
absolutely.
Move forward,
boom.
And show you that our hometown hero is doing it real big. We done that. Before anything else is said,
absolutely.
Cut camera.
Boom. We out here.
As always,
yes,
thank
sir.
You.
You already know.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Boom.